Greetings, audio boom listeners, it's Melissa here, and I'm sitting here here at the college outside. Beautiful day. It's like 72 degrees. And I decided to come out here and enjoy this weather. Plus, I wanted to talk on audio boom and the building I usually wait in, you know, people study in there, so if you don't want to talk in there, because it'll disturb them. Anyway, I had an interesting thing happen today in my creative writing class. I was talking about my short story that we're supposed to write. By the way, it's due on Monday. And I was getting feedback from it, and one of the things that was mentioned to me was the from my previous story that I did repeat a lot of concepts, because I'm thinking about, you know, because they're like, well, you could tell a good story, but from my previous story, it was supposed to be a nonfiction essay, the first one, and I repeated a lot of stuff. And one of my biggest reasons for doing that was because I had a English professor who previously told me, he says, if you really want to emphasize a point, he says, don't repeat it a million times, obviously, but he says, repeat it a few times, and your reader will get the message. And so I did that in my story, in my essay, and the last time. And then today we were talking about, well, a 2,000-word paper should get you 6 or 7 pages. A 2,000-word story should get you a good amount of pages. And so she was saying, if you cut back on repeating some of the concepts, then perhaps you can maybe save room for some more interesting aspects, because she wanted to know if the two characters, the man and the nurse, she wanted to know if they fell in love. And Norman, I kind of pictured as a Family Guy. I talked about this more on Periscope, so for those who tuned into my Periscope, you'd understand more. But he's more of a Family Guy, and I never really thought about that aspect of them falling in love. But I kind of decided that what I'm going to do is probably just make him a married man with kids, because then that man really has something to live for. And what the nurse is going to do is bring that out of him, that he has something to live for. So I'm going to give this guy a family, because he's a strong leader. He's a very strong individual. Basically, the whole point of the story is, see, he had a military background, and after a few years of being in the service, he kind of got tired of people telling him what to do. I mean, he was great, he was glad to help country, but, you know, he wanted to be a leader. And in some ways, his biggest flaw was learning to be the follower. It was hard for him to do that. So when he's in his early 30s, and he's got this 20-something nurse who's not very confident telling him what to do. And, you know, telling him, this is really concerning me, you know. You are ill. And at one point, there's a point in the story when he says, my name is Norman, I am so-and-so years old, I have no health problems, my family tends to have weak hearts, but that happens when they get older. So he's basically saying, you know, let me save you time, this is my story, now can I go? You know, he's trying to take charge of the situation. And then you've got a nurse who's not very assertive. She just does what the doctor tells her to, which, I mean, a nurse should, in some respects, do what the doctor tells her to, but in the same sense, if a nurse really cares for her patients, she needs to learn to kind of speak up and say the things that she needs to say. But then we got into a discussion about character description, as in physical description. I said, you know, I've never been very good at describing people, you know, visualizing what a person would look like. The images that I come up with are totally different than what a sighted person would think of. And one of the ladies in the group, she goes, well, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's all about math and science and shapes and numbers. So can you kind of think of a person in your head, like a person with broad shoulders? The broad shoulders may be thought of as an upside down triangle. To me, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. That just, it doesn't do me justice, because what I look for and appreciate is the uniqueness in individuals. It's good to look at the similarities. They're like a certain shape. And I was kind of having fun with it. I'm like, oh, you mean to tell me you want to give me a triangle shaped person? I don't think that's possible. She goes, no, that's not what I meant. I knew that's not what she meant, but you know, it's good to have fun once in a while. But understanding, you know, just putting a shape with a person, I describe them by personality. I don't describe them by, like a person's personality gives me the idea of the kind of person they look like. And I don't mean skinny versus fat. And I told her one thing that I despise is stereotyping, because there was one person who told me years back, well, typically Caucasian people look like this, and typically Mexican people look like this, and typically da 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 da. And I don't typically care for stereotypes. I mean, I don't like them. Stereotypes are what makes this world close-minded. They separate, they put people in a category, and then they go da 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 da. You know, this is how a person behaves. This is what a person typically looks like. And if you use the word typically, I'm sorry, but that's hinting to me that you're going to use a stereotype. 3 minutes. So it kind of blossomed into this really interesting discussion, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, in some way I can see where it comes from, because we're all made out of matter. We're all made out of atoms and molecules and everything that makes the world what it is. So there are shapes, there are things that a person could typically be shaped like, but there's also the uniqueness in individuals. And the uniqueness is, I mean, that's, how do you tell, let's just say, your father's face from your brother, even though there's a genetic, you know, there's a trait. There's also the uniqueness that sets it apart. Okay, sure, some people may say, well, my brother looks younger. You know, true. But the uniqueness of it, not just who looks younger, who looks older. Is there something unique about him? What sets him apart? What makes him know, oh, that's my father versus my brother? That's a very interesting thought. 1 minute and 4 pause recording. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about it? Comment on it if you'd like. You can send me a tweet on Twitter. You can send me a direct message here on Audioboom. And yeah, so I'm waiting for the bus to get here. But yeah, that's what we were talking about. And I don't know. Yeah, character description was always a little toughy for me. But yeah, and another toughy for short stories for me. is the wanting to add fluff, because to me, I don't, you know, I like when things are described to me. I love descriptions of backgrounds. I love, but you don't get that luxury. As I was saying in my Periscope, you don't get the luxury of adding all this extra fluff. You gotta just get right into the story and tell a good story. And she did give me some good feedback about the title, which I think I'm going to go for and definitely change it. So I had a lot of interesting discussion today, but that's just my flaws. I got to first get out of essay mode and stop being so repetitious or repetitive. And I also got to learn to not put so much fluff into a story. But yeah, I'm working on it. Looking forward to it. Stories due next Monday. And if you guys are interested, I might read it on Audioboom. All right. Well, folks, take care and thank you for listening. Have a great day.